This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for the Kansas City Chiefs, K-State Wildcats, and the Kansas City Royals as they have their first game of the year, 23 days away. Whether you want to believe it or not, everything happens faster.
It's going to start picking up, man.
That's right. Absolutely. We're now joined here by Royals closer, Lucas Irsaeg. How are you doing today, Mr. Lucas?
I'm doing well. It's another beautiful day out here in Arizona, man. Can't complain.
Must be nice. Do you take the golf clubs with you when you go to spring?
Of course, yeah. Well, actually, I live out here in the off season, so I get to play plenty of golf. So
can I ask,
good off season for
can
me.
I ask personal golf questions?
Sure.
Dusty's a huge golfer, so you guys can entertain yourselves now, right?
No, I promise we'll get into baseball, and I want to get into another
actually,
story as
talking
well.
About his golf game would be actually kind of cool.
So what's your handicap?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay, you don't have to give the number if you don't want to.
He's like a 2.
Probably like a 12 to 15. I don't know.
That's terrible. Okay, that really hurt. That really hurt my soul. Lucas, that really hurt
That's what I shoot on every hole, my man.
Okay, favorite golfer to root for on the tour or live?
You know, I think Bryson DeChambeau has really kind of promoted the game of golf outside of the traditional, you know, kind of boundaries of the PGA and all that. He's been doing a lot of stuff on social media, so I've been following him a lot. I like what he's done.
Okay, loaded question. Favorite club in your bag, most trusted club in your bag?
Favorite club in the bag is for sure the driver, just because, you know, I don't hit anymore, so me going out and playing golf is kind of the only way I get to really swing full horsepower and let it rip. But I would say actually my most trusted club is probably going to be it's actually a tough one because I'm pretty bad with all of them, but for some reason I like hitting my five or six iron the best.
And then golf
shots like 200 to 220 ish. I for whatever reason, I don't know.
Just lace it up and rip it, man. Okay, then what's the ball of choice? Does it matter?
It's called the Kirkland signature.
Really. Yeah. You know what? Don't sleep on Kirkland signatures.
I don't do that all the time.
Really good.
Plus, you can get the six-pack of gloves, too, that last you an entire season. But
Hey, it's better than chasing a Titleist into the woods or something like that.
Kidding.
It's only a Kirkland. The hell with it, right?
So here we are. We're with Royals closer Lucas Irsaeg. I want to get into this story real quick because a lot of people, you know, they don't dive into the story that is. But you had a glove last year that kind of took a lot of people in Kansas City by storm because it had the Oakland A's logo on it.
Sacramento.
Sacramento A's. Whatever they are, the A's. I'd like to know from you, from your mouth to their radio ears, like, what's the story behind that glove for Lucas Irsaeg?
That was a glove that I got through Rawlings, and I was able to customize it. So I customized the brown with some silver, right? And at the time I was playing for the A's, and they have the, you know, the availability to, you know, put your team's logo on it, whatever you wanted. So I just decided to put the A's logo on there. You know, sure enough, I obviously got traded over to the Kansas City Royals, so I didn't have any gloves. I didn't have any gloves without an A's logo, and I obviously didn't have any gloves with a Kansas City logo. So as soon as I got traded over, you know, I was like, I'm not going to change. I don't really have another game-ready glove, so I'm just going to have to, you know, wear this one. Mm-hmm. So I got in touch with Rawlings, and they were able to help me out and get me another glove, you know, kind of ASAP type of situation. So Yeah, that was a funny little story. I was getting some heat on social media about it, and I was like, guys, I can't really control this. I can, you know, maybe color it out with a black Sharpie, but I didn't really want to do that.
Right. But also too, like for baseball players, you guys are so dang superstitious about everything. Was it one of those deals where you're like, this glove has worked me well and I don't want to get rid of it? Was it more of a superstition than anything?
No, I wouldn't call it a superstition. I would call it just simply it was like broken in the way I would, you know, have liked it to. And then, you know, there was another glove that I had ordered through Rawlings. It was more for like my shagging glove, right? So it was like an outfielder's model. It had a bunch of holes in the web. So I didn't really want to use that and kind of give away my pitches to the hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point in time, it was just like, hey, I'm just going to have to wear this until my, you know, Kansas City glove gets in.
So is that coming in this year then? You'll have a new one?
Oh no, I got one at the end of the year.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I got one, you know, towards the end of the year, and then I ordered a couple more this year. So I'll have a plethora of Kansas City gloves to wear.
How long does it take you to get a glove ready before you feel like, all right, it's time to take it out to the game?
You know, it varies. It depends on the weather and all that stuff. But I would say a week or so. You know, playing catch every day, it's kind of easier being a pitcher, because all you're doing is playing catch. So, I'd say give or take 7 days.
So when you come to this team last year, and they're you know, kind of a team that took everybody by storm, you know, to lose 100 games 2 years ago, come back this last year, win 86. A big part of that was because of your addition to the end of that bullpen. You guys have really kind of like built up that bullpen in this offseason. What's the feel, what's the vibe like with the new additions and where this bullpen can go in this new season for the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, I think it's more or less going to be the same. You know, the same way we approached the game towards the end of the year last year. It felt so cohesive with each other, right? It felt like we were all on the same page. We didn't really care about roles and what we, you know, what we identified ourselves as down in the bullpen. We just wanted to be dogs, right? Like, we wanted to go out there and get three outs and be, you know, competitors on the mound. So. I think it's, like I said, it's going to be more or less the same this year, especially with the addition of Estevez. You know what I mean? He's been a great clubhouse guy ever since he's gotten to camp. Somebody with a lot of knowledge, with a lot of experience behind the game and, you know, in the back of the bullpen, and somebody that we can, you know, kind of piggyback on, learn from, kind of talk to and, you know, pick his brain a little bit. So.
Do roles and not caring about those roles come because you're winning, or does winning come because nobody cares about the role and they're just going to go out there and do what they have to do?
Right. I think it can go both ways, obviously, right?
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about it, is like nobody really knows, but I don't, and that in itself is why, you know what I mean? Like, nobody really knows, nobody really cares. All we know is when our name is called, we go out there and we perform to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
And we see each other working hard every day. So it's not like a guy's going to, you know, work hard, bust his butt, and then go out and, you know, if he gives up the lead or whatever, gets hit around a little bit. It's not like he went out and meant to do that, right? We're going to have his back, and the next guy's going to step up and pick up, and you know, further down the line, it's going to be the other way around. That's how it works.
So when you look at your role this year, I know people have used that term, the fireman role, for you. If this somebody needs you in the seventh, you're going to be ready to go in the seventh. I like the fact that the game's changing like that. Like, we were so used to, you know, HDH and 14 and 15 here, everybody having those defined roles. I kind of like this way a little bit better, where if there's two dudes on in the seventh in a one-run game, man, you're coming in.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, if that's what you know, Q feels is the right move, it's my job to go out there and get those out. So for me, like I said, it doesn't matter what inning, it doesn't matter what the situation is. I want to perform for the team. I want to get that dub. So.
Do you kind of get into like the Kenny Powers move whenever like the music hits and the gate opens and you're getting ready to go out there on the mound? Like, is it kind of hit there, or does it kind of hit when they call your number to get up and the juices start flowing?
Yeah, the juices start flowing when you know, when your name's called down there, right? You immediately start getting amped up a little bit. But yeah, the entrances and all that stuff, the lights shutting off, all that was really cool. Really adds that element for the fans, right? Not only for me, it it was really cool for me. The first time they did that for me, I almost fell on my butt because I forgot where the ground was. It was so pitch black out there.
Yeah. But, it's got to be like the greatest feeling in the world to come out to something like that. And then if you don't get the job, then you're like, man, all that, I just blew this thing, right?
Exactly. So,
like the pressure's got to be immense.
Right. And something I've been working on since I really started becoming a pitcher was just, eliminating all the outside noise, it's pretty hard to do that when they're literally eliminating the lights and turning them off, right? But once they come back on, it's the same game. You know what I mean? I'm out there to do a job and
talking to the fireman of the Royals, Lucas Irsig, here on 96.5.
You ever hear that George Strait song, The Fireman?
Great song.
Is it? Yeah.
I don't think it's about an actual fireman, though.
No, it's not, no.
But the people want to know, Lucas, what is the what's the walkout song in 2025?
I think it's going to stay the same. When I got called up, I was obviously with the A's, and I'm from San Jose, so I kind of grew up an A's fan.
That's cool.
It was really cool. And my walkout song was a song by E-40, and he's from Vallejo, which is like North Bay. So,
hell yeah.
So I when I got traded over here, I kind of kept it the same, and maybe that was a little bit more of a superstitious thing, right? I grew up in the Bay. I want to keep it in the Bay, and I was kind of looking around. I was gonna maybe do some Tech Nine or something, because I know he's from Kansas City, but nothing was as clean as I would want it to be. You know what I mean? So I just kept with E-40 and ended up doing well down the stretch. So I think I'm going to give him another shot.
There you go.
Nothing worse than the radio edit of a song.
And that's why it's kind of hard to pick the walk-up song. You want something that's going to get you fired up and you kind of is in tune with who you are and who you want to be. Mm-hmm. But you don't want half of the song getting bleeped out because of cuss words and this and that. You know what I mean? You want something fluid, you know what I mean?
Hey, Lucas, Dusty over here is a big Jack Caglione fan, as I think a lot of us are. Tell us something that's going to have Dusty very excited about Cags.
I mean, that guy is a physical specimen, man. It's been fun to watch him, coming into camp. Kind of, he seems definitely more mature than I would have thought, especially just being, fresh out of college, because I know when I got drafted and was, in my first camp, I wasn't, acting the way he was. I think he does all the right things. He checks all the boxes. He keeps his head down. He works hard and he asks questions when he wants to learn. So, that's a making for a big league player, so I think all the faith is with him he's just got to trust the process and allow the timing to work itself out, and he's going to do just fine.
I know we started off with golf, so E-40 gets played on the golf speaker when you're out on the course.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine the reaction you get from those Arizona citizens.
A lot of old sun catchers out there go, turn down your music, youngster.
Turn it up. And then I want to ask.
I play early enough that all the older people aren't there.
Wait, hang on a second. You play early enough and beat the old people?
That's it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If I could have it my way, I'm first tee time out. I want to get my round in. I want nobody in front of me, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But what time are the old people rolling out there? I know it's filled with old people, but like, are they like, do they reverse when they get retired? Like,
no, they're just getting out there at 8, and he's getting out there at 6:30, right at the crack of sun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, you probably gone through more dew delays than rain delays in your life if you're teeing off that time, man. We've never met each other, but we're best friends. So I do want to ask you this real quick, Lucas. Anybody in the history of baseball, and you get to strike them out to win the World Series in the bottom of the ninth inning, who's that batter you'd love to strike out?
And don't give us a baseball cliche of whoever's up there this year.
That's a good question. I talk with my friends and family all the time about this question, and for whatever reason, and it's not like a disrespectful thing by any means, but I want to get on the mound against Barry Bonds, man. That would be such a cool at bat.
That would be cool, especially for a kid growing up in the Bay. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. And just, the outcome could be whatever it is, but I mean, I'm obviously not going to treat him any different. I'm going to pitch him the way I would pitch anybody else. Right.
How do you pitch Bonds?
Intentional walk.
I'm definitely not missing over the plate if I'm going to throw a fastball, right? It's going to be up kind of up and in to open up that down and away. But, I mean, obviously a guy of that caliber is going to kind of know that. So you're just going to have to play some chess. You're going to have to play some reverse chess. You're going to have to play some, you know, connect four. I don't know. You're going to have to pull some strings. So, just to be able to say that I faced him and whatever, like I said, whatever the outcome may be is whatever it is. But a nice competitive at bat against Bonds would be awesome.
Have you gotten to the point, has anybody gotten to the point now where they see Ned coming and everybody runs the other way to try to avoid him, or is things going cool with Ned down there?
No, Ned's great. Ned's great. I actually, I played for his son, Ned Yost the IV, when I was with the Brewers, and I think in 22 and at the beginning of 23, I was in AAA with them, but I was also with them in 19 as a position player. So I've known the IV, you know,
the for IV.
A long time. Yeah. Ned the IV. But yeah, no, he's been awesome, man. Yeah. He's been good clubhouse guy. And he pops his head in every once in a while and checks in on me and sees how I'm doing, and it's all good.
Well, Lucas, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the awesome interview. Have a great year this year, and go buzz him down and E40 this place up.
That's right, baby. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate
it. Thank you for the time. That is Lucas Irsay, and he and all of our player and conversations are brought to you by Park & Go. Planning your spring getaway? Look no further than Park & Go. 24/7, and all spots are covered. Reserve your spot today at bookparkandgo.com. I like that answer. Barry Bonds.
That's a good answer.
Go get the greatest hitter of all time.
Well, I mean, you might as well, right? Who do you want to get at? Bonds.
Yeah, I just struck that guy out. How you doing?
Yeah, but it goes back to like Buck Showalter. You intentionally walked him. Yeah, I'm not stupid.
Yeah. Bases loaded.
Yeah.
Ungrateful or just sad or different times. We attack all three different angles when it comes to the Kansas Jayhawks, who play tonight. 8.5-point underdogs at Houston. It is Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You are listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Stacy, Madonna, she even likes Nirvana.
U2 and Blondie.
I don't know what comes after that.
I don't either.
Couple beers.
Ugh.
I mean, funniest man on the planet. It's him and Tim Robinson. Got to figure out how to make money off this. I simply have to.
That couple of beers was good, but also trying to turn in the index card at the ex-wife's wedding or ex-girlfriend's wedding was really yes, good, too.
That one was good.
Yeah, it says it doesn't expire, and I can do it anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
That's funny you say that, because I have one, too. It's butt stuff. Why do you have an index card in your tuxedo? That's not the argument. Well done. Okay. So one free gripe coupon, maybe for a lot of KU fans this year, but it's been back-to-back years of maybe not what's the norm, because the norm in college sports has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And KU is feeling that change, I think.
I think they are. And that's a shame that they're feeling it like this and handling it the way that they're handling it. You know, losing over the weekend is one thing. Having people launch racial slurs at Zeke Mayo is another thing. And it's totally unacceptable. But I don't like the athletic director at KU blaming gambling for this. Stop taking gambling money. I'll just be honest with you. You don't like the gambling, you can't sit here and complain about it and then take the gambling money, whatever kind of gambling that is and whatnot.
For Kansas is the Missouri's representative.
He is. Yeah.
The hell do you get that job?
This is what happens with gambling. Okay, it's not what happens with gambling. And the other thing that I also hate is when somebody does something like that, immediately people say, this isn't our fan base. No, it is. There are jerks in every fan base. Not everybody in every fan base is a nice human being. It's okay to admit that there are jerks in every fan base. They all have them. Every fan base has people that are socially unacceptable. Mm-hmm. This isn't our real fan. No, it is. They're there. They're rooting for you. Obviously. So don't say that, and don't be that person on social media either, attacking somebody with racial epithets because he went 1-for-7 and only scored 5 points and they lost a basketball game.
That's gross.
It's awful. You're a scumbag, quite frankly, if you're doing something like that, a loser, and you don't really add much to society when you're that kind of person. So find a different way to complain about things and whatnot. But the whole thing is a mess because I was standing in line to get on my flight yesterday morning, and somebody says to me next to me, he goes, "You think KU will ever figure it out?" And I'm like, I don't watch basketball, man. I'm very clear about this. Like, it's not something I'm paying attention to. And then it kind of just got me going, and I could feel the juices flowing, and I want to defend Bill Self with my life, because I do believe that much, and I have that much respect, and I love Bill Self that much, because if anybody's out there talking smack on that guy today, you know, about, oh, maybe Bill needs to go, it's time for a change and all this kind of stuff, you can kiss my ass, because Bill Self is the best thing that's ever happened to the University of Kansas and to the University of Kansas basketball program. And who are thinking that it's time for Bill Self to go, spoiled, and your abilities, or what, however you want to say it, are starting to come to light, because you're not having a Kansas-like basketball season. You're having a normal basketball season. This is what most schools go through and endure. And Kansas really hasn't had a normal basketball season since before 1986. And so it's been a very long time. But you also have to understand, you're acting like a spoiled brat if you're ripping and complaining and bitching about this basketball team. Yeah, they're not having the best year that they possibly could have. They're not having a horrible year for Kansas standards, maybe, but this is the way reality works. Eventually, the Chiefs will not be in the AFC Championship game. Eventually, the Chiefs will not be in the Super Bowl. Please, if you're a Chiefs fan, do not act like a KU fan when that day comes and act like the world is ending, because it's cyclical in sports. KU has just been lucky enough for the better part of two generations now to be able to buck that trend and to not have the losing seasons and the down years and all that kind of stuff that everybody, including Duke, experiences over the course of time.
Yeah, I think it's just part of that when it comes to what Kansas's legacy has been. Like, they've never had adversity really under Bill Self. Now, they had the first round losses and the sky was falling back to back years, which that's
tough. Were a three seed and stuff like that. That's right.
I don't think he's ever been below a four seed in his tenure in Kansas.
He will this year.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, and it's a cultural shock, I think, is what's happened to Kansas. And I think this happens to a lot of sports teams, right? Like, it's happened to Dallas since 96. They just can't get back. So it's like, oh, well, eventually it kind of comes to fruition where you're like, it's just the owner problem.
Right.
But with like Kansas, look, there's no secret. Like, everybody now can do what Kansas has been doing for years, get the players.
But this is also a team that won a national championship in 2022. We're not talking about like 30 years, you know?
And since then, the complete atmosphere of college sports has changed. Yeah. It has shifted. Mm-hmm. And in the last 2 years, they have not been Bill Self years, which is insane, because a Bill Self year was like, you know, you lost once at home, maybe.
Maybe.
Because what was it? He had more conference titles than home losses at one point in his career. Yeah. And you see this happen and you think, not to us. Like, this doesn't happen to us. And like, you will see this also happen to, you know, Chiefs fans, because the standard with Patrick Mahomes is AFC championship every year. Mm-hmm. He's not made it as a starter for the Chiefs. And if he doesn't make it 2 years in a row, it'd be like, are we seeing a regression in Patrick? You're going to see some of those fans do that. Now, some people might call that spoiled. Some people might call that, you know, not used to the norm. Like, imagine being a 14-year-old kid watching the Chiefs your whole life, and then all of a sudden, a year like 2012 happens again, where you're like, we only have four wins, and I know they had less than that in that year. But again, you go back and you look at that, and you're like, there's two different aspects. Like, there's the people that go from where we were to where we are now that are like, hey, I mean, shoot, 19-win season, still good. Now, they have two tough games. They play at Houston tonight. They're 8.5-point underdogs in that game. And then they go to and then they play Arizona the last game of the year. So, possibility they could be 19-12 going into the Big 12 tournament where, oh my God, they're going to play on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Or they're going to play on Tuesday?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
You
can go see KU and Oklahoma State Tuesday at 11 o'clock maybe at T-Mobile.
$6 gets you in the door.
Why not?
Right.
You know? And so I think a lot of it is, this isn't where we normally been, tied into what the game is becoming, also tied into the miss on Hunter Dickinson. He was the number one transfer player that year that he left Michigan. He goes to Kansas, and you put these sort of, maybe not aspirations, but you put these expectations this guy's going to be double-double every night. He's going to be the guy that everybody's going to fear in the Big 12 because he's a big man. He can play against Houston. He can play against these guys that are big teams in this division. Now, the thing, too, is that the expansion of the Big 12 didn't help KU either.
No, not at all.
You bring in Arizona. You bring in Houston. You bring in BYU. And these teams are all better than Kansas this year.
And spending more money to BYU, you know?
$7 million on a player that, come on, Dusty, how'd you not know that? And KU right now is 6th in the Big 12. they're not the mecca, the top dog in this division. Houston has been that guy.
Yeah, Houston's been that guy since they come into the Big 12. And look, that's okay. You got to adjust and you got to change with the times and things happen. But having a season like they're having right now should not be cause for people to react the way that they are. You can be like, oh man, this stinks. But then, you know what? You move on, because again, sports is a form of entertainment. And if you're not being entertained by it, feel free to find something else that's going to entertain you. And I know the older I get, the more nostalgic I get, the more you look to the past and realize what's been accomplished there. That's where I am in my sports life. Hey, are they having a great season? No, but you know what? Bill Self has probably brought more joy to this part of the country than anybody else outside of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so he's done so many great things, and it bothers me that people are immediately forgetting. It also bothers me that we're giving credence, yours truly, to social media and what people are saying on X and other places where they can vent, and you only hear from the vocal minority. And I think the common sense fan understands, hey, it's a little bit of a rough year. Okay, so what? Does Bill get a free pass? You better believe Bill Self. Bill Self gets as many free passes as he wants for what he's accomplished at the University of Kansas. If you're one of those folks that's upset with Bill Self or mad at Bill Self, maybe you're the one that needs to be checked a little bit and go, are you truly a fan or are you just an aggravated human being?
Somebody says from the 816, as a Kansas fan, I'm embarrassed by the comments and the threats made. It's disgusting, it's disrespectful, and absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. So again, yeah, I mean, this is a year where, like, your expectations aren't Final Four, I don't think. I think your expectations this year are, can you make it past weekend one?
Yeah, can you get to the second? If you get to the second weekend, it's a good season. You become one of the top 16 teams in the country, it's a good season.
And, you know, Bill Self put his chips in the table, and those chips went to, you know, Hunter Dickinson being the guy, Juan Harris being the captain of the team, being the point guard, the quarterback of the offense, mm-hmm. and then also KJ Adams. And like that just, I mean, KJ had a really good game against Texas Tech. He looked like he was that guy for the most part. And then they just kind of fizzled out towards the end. And I think it's how they're losing. They've lost a lot of games where they've either blown a lead late or they're losing to teams like West Virginia at home, which you don't see that very often. So all these little things kind of tick the brain of a Kansas fan where it's like, this didn't happen before. Now it's happening. Is it my team just isn't as dominant anymore because our coach is now human? Or is it the game of college has changed and they're not adapting yet? Because it's been 2 years of cultural shock at the University of Kansas.
There's a couple of things like you can point to, like paying these kids now, what's their incentive to get better? What's their incentive to get better? They've already got their NIL money. And if you give somebody $1 million, and this is not just college sports, but college, I think, is a lot more difficult because you're dealing with 18, 19, and 20-year-olds who are having the most money they've ever had ever in their entire lives, and they're seeing that money roll in. What's their incentive to get better? That's something that big league general managers, NFL general managers always deal with. If we pay you, will you continue to get better, or will you just sit back and rest on your laurels because you've already got this money? For a college kid, if you give somebody $1 million, and we're just using that as an example, what's that man's incentive to get better? He's already got that money. What's his incentive at 19 years old to get better, right? He's got money for life at this point in time. So you could look at that as the NIL kind of factoring in a little bit. We've always talked about Bill not being great with the one-and-done type player. He's a guy that's going to, you know, mold these players. What's the kid's incentive who's getting $1 million from the NIL deal to listen to Bill Self and do what he wants him to do? Hey, man, I've already made $1 million. I'm going to sit back on this chair and do whatever the hell I want to do. So you've got that factoring in as well. So there's a lot of different factors in college sports right now that we're not used to dealing with. I think it's a big reason why you're seeing a lot of these coaches say, see you later. I'm done. I'm going to go find something else to do because they just don't want to deal with it. So you have that issue that you have to deal with. Everybody else has gotten better. Different players are out there now in the college like BYU. Whoever thought BYU would be a player in college basketball, but they're a player in college basketball right now. So the landscape has changed a lot. But it doesn't mean you sit there and you just destroy Bill Self or players on the program because they're not doing exactly what you want them to do. They had a down year, and when somebody has a down year, you want to come up and saddle up alongside of them and love them up and give them encouragement, man, instead of making them feel worse than they already are. They don't want to go out there and lose basketball games at Allen Fieldhouse and then people acting the way that they are on social media. It's disgusting.
Do you think there's a lot of it's been back-to-back years, or do you think it's a little bit of Missouri's playing really good basketball this year, and Kansas is playing not so great.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's probably the back-to-back year thing, you know. And I think people are tired of Hunter Dickinson as well, and probably want a new change there. Like this basketball team for Kansas, they could be done by 2 o'clock on Thursday of the NCAA tournament, or they're going to make a run, right? Losing yeah. Providence in the first round to Ursuline Academy or something, and then or win your first two games in Providence, Rhode Island, and somehow end up in the in the round to 16. So it's going to be one or the other for them. It's either going to be a very, very quick exit for Kansas, or they may be around for a little bit, you know, who knows?
I think one of the biggest pros of NIL is also one of its biggest cons, or one of its biggest cons, one of its biggest pros, whichever, which for KU is that things can turn around extremely quickly because you can get players. So KU, you're down in the dumps. Your team could be a number one seed next season.
I mean, look at Missouri. Yes. Look at BYU.
Look at all these guys. Yes.
It happens. It's easy to flip the script in college sports.
Yep.
Speaking of St. John, did you see that Bettino rocked the white suit?
Oh, hell yes, I did.
He's amazing.
He's awesome. Cool, I've said this to you guys now for a couple of weeks. Basketball is better when the Knicks and St. John's are winning. I mean, that Madison Square Garden atmosphere, it's electric. Rick Pitino has brought that program back to life. Like 100%. New York City's involved. People are loving it. Like, that is great.
Yes.
And the fact that he knocked off UConn and whatnot and won the Big East outright, because we were talking in break heels, you know. Dan Hurley's the heel of college basketball. We all forgot that one. He's
two
totally
rings,
heel.
Baldy.
Yeah.
If that's not a heel comment. He's not Tyreek Hill, but he could be Tyreek Hill next year. We saw the development of Tyreek Hill in the Kansas City Chiefs organization. The first thing that they said when he was drafted was the speed. Mm-hmm. Then the route running became immaculate for one Tyreek Hill. Now, again, bigger body, but Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy in the NFL, still the fastest guy in the NFL, even though his buddy said that he might be able to run a faster 40. Didn't
he
come
did
close.
Not, no.
What, he run like a 4.41?
4.4, yeah.
And then, yeah, we know that
Worthy was a 4.21, and yes. He was like a 4.39, 4.4, you said?
Yeah, he ran a 4.4.
Yeah.
It was like a normal, cool.
Not even close.
Yeah. It's pretty embarrassing.
Milliseconds, but not close.
Yeah,
and he definitely didn't run the 40 like that defensive lineman from Mizzou. Did you hear that guy grunting the entire 40?
Yes.
Fastest defensive lineman in
sub
like the,
did you see Luther Burden's like drill?
We have a bit coming, Bob. We keep that name quiet because people listen to you, and he's going to be a Chiefs receiver this year. He's going to fall. He's going to fall.
I saw somebody yesterday that said he ain't getting out of the top 20 after his workout yesterday.
Well, when you keep talking about him, he is.
All right. Well, I mean, that workout that he had yesterday where he was catching this side, that side.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, God.
That's the receiver core next year. Is you're going to replace a Mizzou guy with a Mizzou guy. You're going to lose Nick Bolton, and you're going to gain Luther Burden.
I'd like that.
Yeah. And you'd also like to have Hollywood Brown back.
Yeah, I would. Wouldn't you?
I'm okay with it.
Right?
It's going to be a one-year, $9 million, not even that?
Yeah.
Not even nine's a huge jump.
I think that's a big number.
Yeah,
I was thinking like five.
One for like, yeah.
Yeah, 2 for 10, 1 for 5, something like that. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm all in.
Something small. DK Metcalf is not an option, we were told earlier this morning by a source. Brown is a guy that I think is going to be kind of on the radar, if you will. I don't know why I'm trying to say there, but like get Trey Smith signed, get that taken care of, and then I think Hollywood Brown just fits this organization right now for where they are. He's a nice player for them and knows the system, obviously, and is a veteran presence, and you can pair him nicely with, you know, Rashee Rice and also with Xavier Worthy. I think Hollywood Brown would be a nice pickup for them, but they've got to figure out that left tackle position right now, because if you want a guy like Xavier Worthy to utilize that speed, you got to give Patrick Mahomes time, right? And I think that's why it's so important to solidify that offensive line. Did we really get an opportunity to see Worthy show that speed last year in the passing game?
No.
I mean, there's a few.
A couple here
but
and
nothing,
there.
But nothing like we thought we were going to see, right? Like early in the season, I think they hit a couple, and then it died out.
I feel like one of the biggest showcases of speed was the first game, his first touchdown, that jet sweep against the Ravens. And it wasn't even a pass play, but you just saw him kind of separate. Everyone was with him, and then he immediately got ahead of him.
Yeah, once he got through the second level, everybody was watching.
But I'm talking from the passing game.
No,
like, how many times do we remember Patrick Mahomes up over the top, the Tyreek Hill, deuces out, touchdown, and everybody cheering, right? Like, you want that to be with Worthy, but you got to find a left tackle first before you can even accomplish those things, because he doesn't have any time back there.
And you think there's a chance Ronnie Stanley comes?
Ronnie Stanley could be a guy. Like I know that the left tackle is the number one need for this organization, and everybody's an option right now. And so if Ronnie Stanley's a guy that they want to spend money on, then they're going to go ahead and spend money on him and try to get him in here. It's all up to Clark, you know, whether or not he wants to write that check, because you got to have the cash on hand and the ability to give him the guaranteed money and all that in one fell swoop. So if they have the cash on hand and that's what they want to spend their money on, yeah, I think he could be a potential out. I'm not guaranteeing that or anything like that, but I think everybody is an option right now at left tackle. Like, that's Brett Veach's job right now. Sir, you've got one job. Are you ready? Go find a left tackle. God, anything but that. Because there's just not a lot of options out there right now. So I do. I think Ronnie Stanley is going to be an option. I don't know that they're going to get him, but that's a free agent you have to explore. He'll be 31 next week, which is okay for an offensive lineman. Trent Williams, 36 years old, but you got to find stability, dude. You do. You got to find stability at that left tackle
spot. Is it the number two most important position on the field?
Ask Binkley that on Wednesday. I would say yes, but I think a lot of people are leaving.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, big birthday for Binkley tomorrow. 53.
Ooh. Really?
Oh.
Uh-huh. It's a quick number to throw there. See, Binkley, I'm not the oldest guy here.
Yeah. No, because I remember when he turned 50, he had the 50th birthday mm-hmm. party, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like one of the first times that I left the kids kind of home alone. And it was the only time that I said, do not turn on the oven when I'm gone. For whatever reason, I said it. They turned it on.
Yeah, you shouldn't have said it.
I said,
yeah.
I told you not. Oh, we forgot.
That's exactly how they responded to.
Yeah.
I forgot.
The dumbfounded, like, oh, that's right. There was one thing you said not to do. I couldn't remember.
Can't remember what
we didn't know if it was to not unlock the front door, don't order DoorDash.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll just try the oven.
Yeah.
Like, they've never turned it on before. And I just said it because that was like dad mode kicking it, like whatever. I'm like, don't turn on the oven. I'm going to the Northland to celebrate with Binkley. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Because Jen was out of town or something. I was like, turned on the oven.
You know, it would be fun if we got this oven fired.
Let's make
up
this pizza.
Yeah. For sure. Why not?
Where's the house? Well, we were hungry.
Oh, yeah. Pizza's good, though.
Charred perfectly. Yeah. So that was like 2 years ago. So yeah, he's going to be 53. Or 3 years ago now, he's going to be 53. Yeah.
Shout out Jay Binkley. We'll do a little birthday celebration for him tomorrow. On the other side, we will get into what was our brioche of the weekend. I don't think it was a flight back to Kansas City for one Bob Fesco. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind the scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM Sports Station. 96.5, The Fan.
We're back for the obvious brioche of the weekend here in a second. According to Pro Football Talk, if the Jets are truly taking calls about Devontae Adams' trade, the calls could be going like this. Good luck trading Devontae Adams.
That's right.
Yeah, like $35.2 million or something like that. 32 point whatever it is. 36.2. A lot of money to be paid for a guy that, well, had a couple of moments last year.
Well, that's why I said to you, you know, during the break about Devontae Adams, or last segment, whatever it was, about Devontae Adams, if you're in the NFL, you know he's going to get cut. Mm-hmm. Who's craving the need for Devontae Adams right now? I don't think anybody. So I wouldn't expect anybody to make an offer. When you know guys are going to get cut, you try to sneak in, like in baseball, they offer somebody cash for a guy. You see that kind of stuff because they know that guy's going to get cut, but they kind of like that guy, so they want to have the opportunity to get that guy before they hit the open market. With Devontae Adams right now, it's not like you can offer cash for a guy. You got $35 million here. They know he's going to get cut, and then you can sign him for next to nothing on the free agent market and don't have to give up anything and screw the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, another year, another Jets demoralizing franchise that nobody likes to root for except Fireman Fred, in my opinion. Not necessarily. Well, I guess we can get into the brioche of the weekend. Sorry, Mac.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
It's no surprise. By the way, if you want to watch the TGL, it's probably not going to come back for season two because their ratings suck.
Really?
Yeah, it's
terrible. I thought they did good.
When Tiger plays, welcome to golf.
So it's like basically the WNBA when Caitlin Clark plays.
Tiger does it. Everybody tunes in. I say that loosely. More people tune in, and then when he's not there, it's like, oh, I don't really care to watch guys do what I could go do in a suburb at a simulator.
Yeah, so it's true. Yeah, let me ask you this, though, real quick, totally off the subject. How long did it take golfers to embrace the Tiger Woods effect?
Well, it was kind of divided when he first started.
I know, that's what I'm saying, like, until they all realize,
2001.
Okay, so a couple of years later, where they all realized the purses have doubled, we're making big money, why don't the WNBA players embrace the Caitlin Clark effect and just embrace Caitlin Clark and realize everybody's making more money because of her?
How much time do you have?
Yeah, about 5 minutes. I guess. Because I compare the two situations.
It's an 8:17 topic.
I know, but I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day about like the WNBA. I'm like, it's a Caitlin Clark league, and everybody else exists in it. Instead of embracing it, people want to fight Caitlin Clark. I'm like, it reminds me exactly of what happened when Tiger Woods came in. The jealousy was there at the beginning, and then they all realized, oh man, we're making a lot of money because of Tiger Woods, right? You're going to make a lot of money because of Caitlin Clark. Instead of fighting Caitlin Clark, embrace Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, you can get a barbecue bacon quarter pounder because of Caitlin Clark, because Angel Reese is now the McDonald's sponsor for that.
And there you go.
And it comes with a side of bricks.
That was fantastic. Nice. Well played.
Nice. I'd give it a couple more years, though, for Caitlin. I think they'll embrace her eventually. Like you said, I mean, it took a few years for Tiger. We're in, what, year one? So.
Yeah, because like when Tiger came through, everybody hated the fist pump. They hated that he was like changing the game. He won the Masters by a gazillion strokes in 97, and then Tiger proofed the Masters, which just made it insanely harder for everybody else.
Right.
But he changed the game. Like everybody started hitting powerful drives. People started getting in shape. You look at Rory McIlroy. Either way. My producer of the weekend, no surprise, we continue the golf talk, goes to Luke Clanton. I don't know if you watched this kid. 21-year-old kid was beaming as he held the tour card.
That's
he was
cool.
1 point away. And just went absolutely nuts to finish it off. He ran off 4 straight birdies on the front nine at the PGA National, the last one by holing out a bunker shot as his father captured it on the phone from the gallery, and closed with a birdie for a 5-under 66 to easily make it to the weekend. That gave him the final point needed in the PGA Tour University Accelerated Program to earn a PGA Tour card after the NCAA championship ends May 26, if he chooses not to turn pro, the card will be there when he does. So, I don't know. I watch every golf tournament.
That's cool.
Arnold Palmer Invitational this weekend, which is an awesome one.
It's an iced tea lemonade mix.
It's very good. 70-30 is the way to do it. Go to McAllister's. They make a very good Arnold Palmer if you like.
70% what?
Tea.
Tea.
30% lemonade.
Okay, good.
Just a little sweet.
Yeah.
Kind of like me. Just tiny bit of sweetness, but a lot of dryness. But it was awesome. He's like literally just emotionally just losing it because he's now gained his PGA Tour card. Now the whole thing is, can you keep it and make some cuts and win your money? So, yeah, my brioche of the weekend goes to Luke Clanton, who won his PGA Tour card, making the weekend tournament, and only needed 1 point in the accelerated PGA Tour program to gain that. So after March 26th, he can say, deuces to being an amateur into college. I'm going straight to the pros. Sick. Here's my card.
Well, does amateur exist anymore in college with the NIL? I mean,
that's interesting.
You know, you're paying these guys anyway. So
they'll be an amateur at the Masters. They always invite one.
No, but I mean in college anymore. You get your tour card, can you still play at college if they're paying you the NIL money?
Yeah.
Yeah, because John Daly's son was Hooters.
Yeah, so you can still play. So it's not like that amateur status anymore. You're still getting paid. That's really cool. You see these guys in sports, no matter what sport it is, work so hard to get to that final, that highest level.
And his dad gets to have it all.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It really is like goosebumps thinking about that. My brioche of the weekend is going to be pretty simple. And I'm going to give it to American Airlines, because we sit here and we complain about airlines all the time, right? That's all we do. Everybody complains about airlines, complains about the flights, complains about this. They got us into Phoenix almost an hour early.
And
it was outstanding. So I just want to give credit where credit's due. Every once in a while, like, the airlines aren't all bad. All the people working there aren't bad. So just a little shout out to them. Give them a little brioche of the weekend, because you did something good. You deserve to be recognized for it. And nobody likes the airlines.
Yeah, it's so easy to do the other way, right?
This
sucked. This was terrible. We love doing that. But hey, give them the other side too.
Yeah.
That was good. It's like officiating. Hey, good call.
I didn't know
this was a huge debate, but I follow Bob Does Sports. They're like another golf thing.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a guy on his squad named Fat Perez, because there's a Pat Perez, and he's Fat Perez. He's actually really good at golf.
Oh, yeah, like our friend Fat Mahomes from back in the day.
And he's hilarious. And he was upset because he's caddying for him in this tournament. And on the way to their flight, some lady has her seat completely reclined.
Yeah, that's a D move now.
I didn't know you couldn't recline anymore. I didn't know that was a thing on airplanes.
I saw that online as well. I did not know that. I didn't recline on the way to New Orleans because I got that vibe that we were done reclining. But I used to be normal recliner.
Now they give you fold seats on the sides.
You put your thing. You bring
I like that.
And I have a neck pillow I carry, you know, for something like that. I just don't do it because I don't want to be somebody that's like, it's crowded enough on an airplane. And then you put that seat back. I know they allow it and it does go back. And so it's my seat. I'll do what I want. Well, then I'm going to kick the back of your seat the whole time.
Yeah, I felt bad because a guy that I used to work with, Ron Slay, who works on the SEC network.
Oh, Slay, yeah.
Good old Slay. Yeah. He's 6'8", and he was right on a plane this week. He's like, dude, this sucks. Oh, I'm like, yeah, suck, I would hate that.
Yeah, and then somebody's back in your lap, reclining. And you want to give him a shave? I mean, come on.
Yeah, this Bob to the sports guy said, I asked her not to recline. He's got a big tournament this week. And she says, well, then maybe you should start thinking about flying first class. And she proceeded to stay laid back and see, because so we disagree, but let's have a good weekend.
Damn.
Yeah, but like even if you're up there, it's still a tight fit. Yes,
and he's a big, I'll just show you the picture. He's a big dude. He's just cool. He's like sitting there sleeping in his chair, and she's completely reclined in his lap.
Oh, God.
I didn't know that was frowned upon. I'm like, damn, you can't recline anymore?
Well, I mean, you can't pick your nose anymore? Yeah, it's kind of common. I view it as common. I won't do it because I don't want somebody doing it to me, and I wouldn't feel
or
right doing it to somebody else.
Is there a certain level you can lean back? Can you go back like a little bit?
Well, that's all it really goes back anyway. Yeah. It's not like we're reclining and it's, oh my God, I'm so relaxed.
That's 2 inches.
It goes like, doot, doot.
And it feels good.
But it does. It feels nice. A little bit different. Yeah. You know, get up and walk up and down the aisle a couple of times. You'll be fine. Who's your brioche of the weekend, Mac?
Oh, pasta.
Well, here we go.
And here we go. Well, they turned down Gainey. Now Mayshak's got to go. He will fire.
Saturday.
March 1st, the madness begins, baby. The Vols. I mean, that game really kind of cemented them, or at least for now, as long as they take care of business, do okay in the SEC tournament. That should be a one seed, the Tennessee Vols. So that was a fun game. Watch that one. Hannah was taking a nap, completely woke her up. Sorry,
oh,
but not
bet.
Sorry. I was just jumping up and down. It was incredible. And yeah, it's a guy in Jemai Mayshak who's a defender. Hustled. He was the player of the game before that moment. He doesn't score, not a shooter, takes a 30-footer at the buzzer. Junior or senior, he's been there for a long time, so that was awesome. Definitely brioche.
Who were we talking about last week that like blew the game because they're launching three-pointers? Oh, didn't Tennessee do something like that last weekend, too?
No, it was,
A couple weeks
it was Michigan State. And
that's right, Michigan State.
Yeah. Michigan State and Maryland.
Yeah.
Maryland had like 8 seconds left and shot a three, and Michigan State got the rebound, went to half court, mm-hmm. blasted.
Yeah.
March is here, man.
It's coming,
March
baby.
Is here. I love the small school tournaments. I think they start getting going kind of this week, maybe,
mm-hmm.
Where you see, you know, the CAA or schools you've never heard of, and they make their first tournament, and the college radio guy loses his brains on the air.
Awesome. That's the best. That's what sports are about.
It is. And we have created such a negative atmosphere around sports with social media, and that's why I'm just not a big fan of it. I'm not.
It's
very toxic. And what sports was about is what Dusty talked about, that kid getting his PGA Tour card. Like, you work your whole life for something and then you achieve greatness, and then you've got losers out there that want to try to bring you down. Or, you know, these kids that are playing at Kansas, they may not be playing the best basketball, but by God, they're playing Division I basketball. They don't want to lose games. They're busting their ass out there. That's the other thing. People think like they want to lose. Yeah. Oh, they're doing it on purpose and all that kind of stuff. No. But March is a good, good, good indication of truly what sports is about, because you see those great moments. You see kids living their dreams. You meet people along the way, like Sister Jean, that you normally wouldn't meet. Mm-hmm. That's the best part about March Madness.
From the 913, how was the spring cleaning this weekend, Dusty? Fantastic. Windows were open on Friday night, all day basically Saturday. Then we had poker over. Some guy lit up a cigar in the kitchen.
That's
all right.
What's an expensive cigar these days? We had some cigars over the weekend. They're like $40 a piece. Is that expensive?
I don't know. I don't like cigars.
My dad's a big cigar guy, but I couldn't tell you. But he's big cigar guy.
Did you spring clean or did you pass?
Did spring clean.
Felt good, didn't it?
It was awesome.
What did you get rid of? I mean, you just moved in.
Clean the house, you open the drawer.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you just moved into the house.
Yeah, you clean the house, clean the drawers,
yes.
Wipe the floors, and you stand tall. Don't you mention all the inches on the door frame.
Don't you do that all the time, though?
I mean, yeah, but it was good for me, especially, because we had just moved in. It felt like, okay, now we can kind of clean everything. Everything was kind of tornadic, and now, boom, let's all settle. Let's get it clean.
Get that fresh air in there, Daddy.
Yes.
Yeah, the fresh air is great.
Oh, it's awesome.
Get that cross breeze going.
Oh, every morning before I leave, when it's like it is outside, I leave one of my bedroom windows open. I come home, like...
Ah, fresh linen.
There's a reason why there's a dog sitting on my bed looking out the window. He's like, I never know you're going to come home, man. Been waiting.
No, did you call out Cigar Kitchen Guy?
No, he asked. He goes, can I light this in here? I was like, well, they're lighting other stuff, so you might as well just join
just
it. So he just had the window open, it breezed out, and it was gone, and, you know, whatever.
Hold him?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. It was a fun night. Fun game.
Yeah, I think if you're going to invite people over to play poker, you have to assume cigars are going to be had.
Yeah,
cigars, normally, bourbon.
And,
right?
Yeah, normally we'll play in the garage and just have the door open. And then he was just
But
he's like, do you mind if I light this? I was like, look over my buddy. Like, I'm like, well, Jeremy's already got something else lit. I was like, I'm sure that'll cancel out the smell of cigar. It didn't.
I woke up the next morning.
I was like, damn, that thing's strong, dude. And that's why I don't like cigars. They just, you know, whatever.
We went to a cigar bar, but it was ventilated very nicely.
Yeah, they do a really good job.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yes. I walked in, I'm like, everybody's in here smoking a cigar and it doesn't stink.
Yeah, so the Brilliantly Dumb following, which is Robbie Berger, who does Bob Does Sports. I think you would love him if you started following him.
Yeah.
He says, Perez asked me to caddy for him at the queue this week. Figured since I can't read greens, the least I can do is tell this lady not to recline her seat on my quarterback. She told me to upgrade to first class next time. She was scary, and most importantly, she was right. Guy's going to have to deal with it. Let's go low this weekend. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Have a respect for your fellow man and say, man, I'm sorry. I don't need to. I see you're struggling here. I'll be okay. I mean, but we don't have respect for our fellow man anymore, so.
But you can. You can go out and do something nice for somebody because you never know. It could change their day, week, their month, or their year. Kansas City is simply cool to care. Stay kind. Stay safe. You got Cody, Golden, Drew coming up next on 10 to 2 from here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.